All right. The title of this message is, What is in you, light or darkness? Matthew 6:22, verses 23. This is the Lord speaking. He says, The eye is the lamp of the body. And in your eye, if your eyes are good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness? How great is that darkness? Jesus is challenging. He first talks about earlier on in this session. He talks about where your heart is. That's where your treasure should be. And then he immediately comes to here and he talks about the eye. The eye, basically, it is in biblical standards and understanding, is it points the direction of one's life, because you have to see where you're going. And Jesus is trying to get us to understand that there is light and there is darkness in the world. And he's wondering, what is contained within us? Okay? For the believer, we should be filled with light. We should be filled with goodness. We should be filled with the very character and person of Jesus Christ coming out of us. We should ooze God. And we do. And you guys know, I've been telling you that you are spiritual people encapsulated in this flesh. This flesh wants what it wants. And until you become that spiritual person and empowered by the Holy Spirit, you will be wrestling with your evil desires until Christ comes. The only way that I know that you can wrestle successfully with your evil desires is to die to yourself. That's what the cross is all about. If you don't take up your cross daily, you're living for yourself. You're not living for Him. You're not living for His purposes. And this is the problem in the church today. This is not going to be a feel-good message. It really isn't. It's going to be a message on truth. Jesus is now peppering the hearts of people, saying, What is in your heart? What is filling your heart? What is filling your very being? It is the light that you look at, is it changing your inner self and becoming more and more Christ-like? Or is your inner self becoming even more darker because the light that you're looking at is really darkness? And this is a question for each and every one of us, including myself. I'm not exempt because I have to examine myself. He's asking us, do we have the spiritual ability to look with spiritual eyes, or are we looking with our physical eyes trying to understand spiritual realities? And that's what feel-good messages are all about. They're trying to get you to feel good about your sinful condition. Because God loves you. He does. He died on the cross to show you how much He loves you and He loves me. But He says that if you proclaim the name of Jesus Christ, you now surrender your rights, your desires, everything about you for His wants and desires. And that's real hard to do. That's real hard to do because we don't have this enlightenment that God wants us to have. When I was teaching prophetic people and teaching people how to hear from God, I break it down into its simplicity. God speaks to my spirit to enlighten my mind, to motivate my flesh to do my will. Alright, let me try this one again. God speaks to my spirit, enlightens my mind to motivate my flesh to do my wife's will. That's not right either, huh? All right, let me try it one more time. Maybe I'll get it right this time. The truth of it is, God enlightens my spirit, or speaks to my spirit to enlighten my mind, to motivate my flesh to do His will. Period. And if we're doing anything other than His will, if we're looking into His Word and we're tearing out Scriptures, which is the light of the Gospel. Thy Word is a light unto my feet. If we're not feeding on His Word and we're living a life contrast to what He's telling us, we have a problem. He doesn't have a problem. We have a severe problem. We move from grace to immediately into mercy because we are willfully sinning against the truth of God. And I know none of us want to do that. None of us wants to dishonor God in any way, shape, or form. But we can't make the Word of God say something other than what it is. And what Jesus is doing is He's offering a challenge. He speaks first, where is your heart? And then He wants us to look to see where our heart is and see what light is shed in there. Because without knowing what that light is, we're moving in presumption. We're moving in falsehoods and lies. And that's not what this is about. This is about correcting something that Satan has perverted of his creation. And all of us have done things wrong. All of us have done things that has been displeasing to God. That's why He has given us Jesus Christ. Because the more we try, the more we try to love people, and the more we try to be like Jesus, the more we hurt them. The more we act unbecoming. The more we say things that does not glorify God. That's darkness. That's not God. So let's break this down a little bit. He's talking about the condition of our eyes. And as we already know, the condition of our eyes, or biblically senses, what direction am I going in? Jesus is asking, what direction are you going in? Are you walking in light or are you walking in darkness? Now, we could be talking about spiritual blindness. We could also be talking about spiritual darkness. Spiritual blindness and spiritual darkness is not necessarily the same thing. I know people who are blind that can see better than I can see things. But this is talking about people who know something but continue in the way of darkness. They continue. They're not blind per se. They just can't see light. Darkness is the absence of light. And there are people, before I got saved, I was walking in spiritual darkness. When I got saved and committed myself to Jesus Christ, I began to walk in spiritual blindness. I was ignorant of the truth of Jesus Christ. I saw the light. I reached out to the light. He embraced me. He forgave me of my sins. He called me His son. And He enlightened me. He spoke to my spirit. The Bible says, those who call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But salvation is only the beginning of our responsibility to the King. We must walk out of darkness into His marvelous light. And part of that walking is we got to know Him. This Word of God is given to us to keep us from sinning. But sin will keep us from the Word of God. And that's why we don't pick it up. Or that's why we tear certain sections out of there and we apologize to people that God really didn't mean that. Yes, He did. Yes, He did. He loves us so much to tell us the truth. He loves us so much that He is the answer to every situation and every problem that we have. We learned yesterday in men's that without God in the midst of a marriage between a man and a woman, what you have is a tug of war. When God is in the midst of that, He elevates the marriage so that the maturation of that marriage or the maturing of that marriage grows in Christ. That doesn't mean there's perfection in that responsibility. What it means is God is in the midst of it. A threefold cord is not easily broken. Man, woman, God. God designed it that way from the beginning. That He would be in the midst of every relationship, whether it's individual, or collective. Whether it's in the marriage, with the family, or whether it's just with the one that's saved. His whole goal is to bring everybody into his house to walk in the light as he is in the light. Psalm 69:2 says, I sink in the mire of death where there is no foothold. I have come into the deep waters that floods engulf me. When people are walking in darkness, they just think that is normal. But what happens to people like that? What happens is the darkness continues to come upon them wave after wave after wave. They allow their circumstances, their desires, their wants, their plans and all to supersede the plan that God has for us individually. And we give into our depravity. This darkness that has encapsulated the world until Jesus came actually drove men into depravity. And God, when he looked down from heaven before he destroyed the world during the time of Noah, he repented that he made man. Not because he made man, but because Satan had perverted man. And God was sorry for that. Because he saw what was happening to his creation. Darkness can be so dark that it can be felt. I remember one time we were driving in the mountain, the Smoky Mountains, and we went to this place called Fontaine, Camp Fontaine. And this was up in the mountains. I mean, it was out in no man's land. And thank God we were in darkness, because I was driving on the edge of a one-lane road, and if I drove to the right any further, I would have fallen off with my family and all. Thank God for the darkness. I had the headlights, and I was staring into those headlights. And we had just come down a mountain, and Irene's saying, oh, this is fun. We're just winging like this. I'm spinning this wheel as fast as I can, going this way and that way. And she says, pull over. Where are you going to pull over? Where are you going to pull over? You know, you're in darkness. You're as fast as you turn the wheel, you turn it back the other way. And I'm looking at her and said, are you for real? Pull over. And we stayed a couple days at this Camp Fontaine, Lake Fontaine. It was really good. I mean, it was neat and all. And the third morning we left and we saw what we came up in. That's what repentance is all about. You get to see the damage that you created, but you get the privilege to walk with God to mend that all up and watch life spring up from that. The darkness is filled with all kinds of demons, imps, tormentors that punish and harass God's people and people on a whole. They're not seen, so their activities go unnoticed. And what happens is when conflict comes in our relationships, the first thing we do is we blame each other. Well, it's your fault. Oh, no, it's your fault. You did this. And we fail to understand there is a greater reality. There is a darkness upon this world that these demons mess with us. But because we're not spiritually in tune to the light, we don't see what's going on in the darkness. We look with our physical eyes and we blame each other. And people who continue in darkness live desensitized to truth, which is only found in the light. And their lives, no matter how you want to look at it, are not filled with peace. They're always filled with this thing in the back of their mind. And this is where tormentors come in. And they constantly, constantly nag at them. Isaiah 8, 19 and 20 says, when men tell you to consult mediums and spiritualists who worship or who whisper and mutter, should not a people inquire of their God? Why consult the dead on behalf of the living? To the law and to the testimony, if they do not speak according to this word, they have no light of dawn. distressed and hungry, they will roam through the land. When they are famished, they will become enraged and look upward, will curse their kings and their God. Then they will look toward the earth and see only distress and darkness and fearful gloom, and they will be thrust into utter darkness. There is a darkness that the world is walking in right now, but there is an utter darkness, a darkness that you feel that is so creepy that you become fear-ridden. You become confused. You don't know what's going on or what's happening. Your eyes are shut to greater possibilities. You don't see the possibilities of God because you're listening to those who are walking in darkness. They're telling you to go here and go there. Listen to this one. Listen to that one. But no one's telling you to go to God. And this is what Isaiah is saying. We walk in our own prideful arrogance, thinking we know better than God. And our situation goes from bad to worse to even worse. And we're wondering what's going on. After all, I'm making all the right decisions. I know better. There's a way that seems right to man, but in the end, it brings destruction. James likes to put it, there's a way we go that leads us into sin, and once sin is conceived, it breeds death. Anything that is not bringing life out of God's order is sin, and it must be exposed and destroyed. It must, because it renounces itself against the character and person of God. And God has given us Jesus Christ so that we don't die. He has given us Jesus Christ so that we can see the light and embrace the light and walk in the light as He is in the light. Jesus came into the world as the light. And He fulfilled the prophecy that Zebulun and Naphtali saw this light in great darkness. It was talking about these people that there was nothing but wickedness all around. But when Jesus came on the scene, they knew instinctively that there was something different about this man. And they saw the light of God. Now, that didn't mean that they embraced it. They saw it. And there's many people in the church today that have seen the light, but they don't embrace it. Just like the individual that we were talking about in men's. He saw the light, but he wasn't born again. You see, you can't join the church like a club. You've got to be born into His family. And if you're born into His family, you have His DNA. And when you have His DNA, the Bible says His seed is incorruptible. It means it won't pass away. It can't be perverted. It can't be destroyed. We've talked about darkness. Let's talk a little bit about light. Light has characteristics of its own. Light travels at 186,697 miles per second. And God moves faster than light because He created light. Light has frequencies and waves. And with these physical eyes, it is impossible for us to see only in the realm or the range or wavelength that God has designed these eyes to see. And then some of us need help to see even in that. Light produces power. It can be felt. It produces heat. It can cut. And with intensity, it can even blind us. Those of us that have worked in construction or welding sites and stuff can understand that a welder's arc, if you continue to look at it, will make you blind. If you look at an eclipse, the light intensity is so great, you, in a very short period of time, can be blind if you don't use a filter to look at the object or the thing that you're trying to see. God introduced light in the person of Jesus Christ into a world that was filled with darkness. And all of us, even today, are filled with darkness. We were born into sin. So if we know that light is here, and we know that darkness is the absence of light, what does light do in darkness? It drives darkness out. Light and darkness cannot occupy the same space. If we call on the name of Jesus Christ, and we're living in contrast to what the Word of God says, how dark is that light in you? You see, it's not true. And a lot of us, how many of us have ever crossed our eyes? I mean, it's kind of like a double vision or a blurred vision. You know, you can walk around, but you really don't have a handle on how far this is or what you're doing. It's all blurred. And that's what happens with these individuals who walk around with darkness thinking that they're in the light. They're out of focus. They're confused. They don't understand the truth. But God loves me. There is no doubt God loves you. But He doesn't want to leave you in the same condition that you're in. That's why the blood of Jesus Christ forgives and atones for all our sin. That's why we go to the cross. We nail our evil desires. We nail the evilness of the flesh to the cross. And we live this life of righteousness because of Jesus Christ. And He empowers us with His Spirit so that we can do this. Or better yet, to become this. Because the more we try to do the things of righteousness, only the wickedness that is within us comes out. The eyes. The eyes are the windows of our soul, but I like to say they're the windows of our spirit. And if the world, if we can agree that the world is filled with darkness, what are we allowing to come through these windows? Nothing but darkness. If we're sampling everything that the world has to give to us, we know eventually that we will not become satisfied. And so we look for something else in the darkness. Hear me. We look for something else in the darkness to be a substitute for our problems inside. And God sent Jesus Christ not only to be substitutionary for our sacrificed lamb, He became the total satisfied package for us. So that what when we see the light, we must embrace the light. And when we go to God, He fully embraces us. So that not only are we in the light, but we're filled with light. And Jesus said, if your eye is bad, what do you think that connotation is? If your eye is bad, you're looking to the world. You're not looking to God. You don't have faith. Because you're looking at the wrong direction. You can't believe because you're in darkness. And what happens is we start believing all the lies that are being told by those who are in darkness too. How deranged do you think we will become? When we look to the Word of God, He tells us the truth. And if you were like me, this was me. Early on in my walk, you're a sinner. Oh, I don't want to read that. God loves me. But the fact of the matter is, that is true. It's stating my true condition before a holy God. But also in stating the truth, God has given me His Son so that I can now come into the light. And He draws me into the light. He loves me. He draws me into the light. He draws you. He's calling to you to come out of the darkness. Come out of your lifestyles that are displeasing to God. To put down those evil habits. To admit your part in hostilities against one another. Whatever it is, He's telling us. And even today, in sitting before God, He's telling us to be quiet. Don't let your spirits get all riled up. Sit before God and know that He is God. He sees everything, and He sees it perfectly. Now, some of us, we would think, holy smokes, you know, I ain't got a chance. I just don't have a chance. But those of us who have eyes that are filled with darkness, we're living a life for ourselves. We're selfish and self-centered at the best that we have. And the worst that we have, we'll take your stuff too. That's how selfish I am. And if I can play you to get something from me, guess what? I will do that. I will tell you anything to make your ears wiggle and twist around because, oh, He loves me. He's so enamored with my beauty. Now, I'm enamored with what I can get from you without exposing myself so that you will see what I'm really about. I'm a wicked, evil degenerate. But no, you're enamored by my good looks that have flown away. And I thank God for my wife who still loves me. She hasn't aged a day. She's still as young and beautiful as the first day I met her. It's true. In my eyes, she is. She is. And when we're constantly running around filling our lives up with this darkness, we're eating into that apple, that poison apple, that put Snow White to sleep. So the church is falling asleep. The kingdom of God is not so. The kingdom of God is peace, love, and the Holy Spirit. Isn't that what Scripture says? Peace, love, joy, and the Holy Spirit. Good eyes not only see the light, they embrace the light. And they allow the light to embrace them. What happens here is when a believer comes in and they realize that we've run the gamut. I did the drugs. I did all the sports stuff. I was a workaholic. I did everything I could to satisfy myself. But still within me, there was a dissatisfaction. That only God, only Jesus could satisfy. And when I rolled my car down an embankment and I crushed his car and I almost lost the most important people that were in my life at that time. Of course, my daughter has added a son to me, so now he's incorporated as important. And we should have been killed, but it was by God's mercy that He allowed us to survive. And I gave God my life. I didn't commit to Jesus Christ. I surrendered to Him. And maybe that's what some of us need to do, is once and for all, surrender. I remember that old song, I surrender all. I surrender all. Here we go again. I was talking yesterday. We were at a young man. It's a Christian. It's called a Bar Hava. And it's a Christian presentation. And guys, we were talking about this some months ago about how in American culture, we have nothing to bring our young people to pass from youth into manhood. And that's what a bar mitzvah is, where a bar mitzvah is young men and young women entering into adulthood and the accountability and stuff. And I watched this thing going on, and I was so filled with joy that here was a way that friends of ours have embraced our Jewish heritage, because we are Jews. We're more Jews than the Jews, because we're completed in Christ. They just haven't come to the light yet. And here was a young guy, 13 years of age, and it was a ceremony in worshiping God and honoring God and honoring this young man into adulthood. They embrace this life, this light that God has given. And they celebrate it. See, life is to be celebrated. And sometimes I think what happens, Irene likes to say, we get caught up in the do's and stuff when we don't enjoy the ministry. And that can be true a lot of times. And we're learning as a church to have fun, to do things, not to be so serious. And I have to give permission to my leaders not to shoulder responsibilities that they don't have. I want them to be who they are in Jesus Christ. But a lot of times they want the success of this ministry to be that it's real hard for them to be who they are. But in the light of Jesus Christ, it becomes easier, because he says his burden is light, his yoke is easy. And when we embrace the light, when we embrace Jesus Christ fully, and I'm not talking about just embracing him and just jump back and still continue in our lives, but I mean embrace him that my life is sold out for the King and the kingdom, and I'm going to do what he wants no matter what, no matter hell or high water. And that reminds me of that joke. But we'll tell you later. But the fact of the matter is that's what's pleasing to God. Not that we vacillate back and forth. Not that we become argumentative as to what the scriptures are saying or not saying. It has nothing to do with that. It has everything to do with what is your relationship to Jesus Christ in the light. Because you see, when the light comes, it drives the darkness away. And it exposes us for who we really are. And that's a fearful thing. To be naked before God. And you know what? All of us are going to be there before him at the last day, at the judgment seat of Christ, and we're going to be naked. We're not going to be able to plea bargain with him. We're not going to be able to make excuses. We're not going to blame shift somebody else. It's just going to be him and me. Him and me. And the first thing he's going to ask us is, did you embrace the light? Well, I did, Lord, but there's no buts. Did you embrace the light? Yeah, Lord, I prayed for the sick. I helped the homeless. I cast out demons. I spoke in other tongues. And he's going to say, I never knew you. You see, when you embrace him, and become absorbed into him. And he into you. 2 Corinthians says, for God who said, let light shine out of darkness, has made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. He called us out of darkness so that we could be embraced, that we could behold him as he is, without pretense, in Christ. 1 Peter 2:9 says, but you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful, marvelous, glorious light. Are you that people? Or are you that people that, you know, you're just too radical? Yeah, you know, you need to sit back, take it easy here. Yeah, because I'm a Methodist and we're okay. And you're going to go to hell, a Methodist. Because you place your denomination above the name of Jesus Christ. The question is, are you His and He yours or not? That's the question. In this whole scriptures that He's talking about, the light and the darkness, the good eyes, the bad guys, He's just asking one simple thing, and He's really not asking us. Because let's get down to brass tacks. When God speaks to us, He doesn't ask permission. He is Lord. He tells us what He wants us to do. It's a matter if we're going to obey Him or not. That's the truth. He's calling His disciples. Are you His disciple? And do not answer quite rashly, because I'm not done yet. He calls His disciples to live in undivided loyalty with our eyes focused on Him and obedient to His will. We must guard our spirits by what we allow to enter into our eyes, for out of our spirits flow the issues of life. What we allow in to our hearts is either light or darkness. And my question is, what's in you? Father, we just come before You, Lord. You really ring our bell. You challenge us all the time, Father. But that does not diminish Your love for us. That does not diminish the need for us to look to Jesus Christ, the author and finisher of our faith, the light of our life, who is our life. Because anything that's outside of Jesus Christ is death. Father, let us get real with You. Let us take in the full counsel of Your word and help us to walk in the light as You're in the light, God. Help us to cherish Your word. Help us not to pervert it and believe the lies that the enemy has. Because when You did business with Satan, he perverted Your word, but You stated the word back to him. It is written. God, I pray for Your people. I pray that in the days and weeks and months ahead, God, that we will walk in the light as You're in the light, and God, that people would see a changed person. A person who is radically changed on the inside, but living in the simplicity of this existence in this life. God, may they see You through us. May they see the love that we have for You, God, and the love that You have for them. May we not just be talkers only, but we walk in the truth, God. So that our lives would be pleasing unto You, God, and that we would not be ashamed on that great day when we stand before You. That we may hear You say, "My good and faithful servant, enter into the joy of the Lord." God. God, I pray for all those who walk in darkness, who have not embraced You, God. That, Lord, that as we go forth, we just provide them with the opportunity. The decision is theirs. You have given us the terms of surrender. And all You tell us to do is just share it with those who need to know. So, Father, as we go on this day, I pray for Your church. That we would walk in the light. That we would be unified and full of love, God. And that everything that we would say and do, God, would glorify You and perpetuate Your kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. If there's anybody that would like prayer.